הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורחים בלב שמח, אורחים בלב שמח, אורחים בלב שמח, אורחים בלב שמח, אורחים, אורחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, and welcome to the Judge Eve Show, and it said, let us be happy, and let us wake up with a happy heart. And when we know Jesus in our lives, our hearts should be happy at all times. I want first to state, just to say, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you and praise you that the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth are pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Also, I just found out yesterday that Doug Harris from Revelation TV from England passed away from cancer. So many people were praying for him, and we suppose the Lord had another plan, and just want to send condolence to his family and everybody else who knew Doug. And God bless all of you people. I'm so blessed today to have Jeff Harshbarger. I have a hard time saying his name. And he is a former Satanist. He's a minister. He was ordained by Calvary Chapel. He's also a counselor, Christian counselor, and a youth counselor. And most importantly, he and his wife, Liz, and what I say lovingly, help people escape the occult with their ministry, Refuge Ministries. If people need to contact him, the email for him is info@refugeministries.cc. He has written two books. I've read one of them, From Darkness to Light, which he will explain to where it can be gotten. I got it through Amazon, but I know it can be gotten through his website. And it is wonderful. People, you need to hear his story. You need to know what to do, especially in this world today where the occult is so prevalent. Let me just say, too, Jeff had appeared on TBN and Daystar and 700 Club, had an article written about him at Charisma Magazine. He also had written the book Dancing with the Devil, which tells stories of several people who've been into the occult and have been delivered from it. And he was also featured in The Kingdom of the Occult by Walter Martin. Couldn't read my writing. So, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Judge Eve. It's an honor to be your guest.
Thank you. You know what I'd like to do a little bit, if I may? I want to go into your background because I was amazed, and I have some questions about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You tell about your really very unhappy childhood, right?
Very, very unhappy. I was raised in a military home, and my dad was a Marine sergeant, and I was very detached from him, and he came back actually from the war.
Which war was that?
The Korean War.
Okay, in the 50s.
And he came back, and he really dealt with the effects, the after effects of the war, and turned to alcohol and became abused. And it was a very violent family setting, and so I experienced some things at the hands of the family that was very neglectful, very abusive.
And you kept moving, right? You moved so many times. The only place you really
Judge, we would move every year to 2 years, and you know, when you're a little boy, you know, you're really not able to set up social. Well, they would call it social networking today, but just, you know, friends and joining Little League team and, you know, playing football with friends. I mean, when you had to pack up and move every year, every 2 years, you know, you just have an unstable foundation.
You had no roots, right? And when you have no family home, you have no roots to anything or anyone in a way, right?
Exactly. I mean, there was a sense of having a home and not having a family, you know, a strong family connection, family structure. And those two things just, you know, made me always feel like I was just kind of a wanderer, you know. And
yeah.
wherever we lived, I mean, you know, my dad would have the police called on him by my mom because of domestic violence.
Oh.
You know, so wherever we went, I mean, they were typically small towns.
Yeah.
Everybody knew our business, you know, so
oh.
I kind of walked around with my head down,
oh.
full of shame because everybody knew my family.
You're going to make
condition.
Me cry. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's over now. I'm, you know,
yeah.
I'm over.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was the foundation of
yeah.
of how, you know, my heart was developed. And I was
yeah.
a hurting,
yeah.
lost little boy.
And how important it shows us to have good family life, to have unconditional love from family. You were one of five children, do I remember it correctly?
Yes, ma'am. I have three sisters and a brother, and you know, each one of us have dealt with it in our own unique way.
Yeah.
I just happened to have an experience with the Ouija board. I was the curious one, I think, out of the litter.
Yes, and tell me what happened to you. You know how people think it's just a game. What happened to you?
Oh, boy.
How old were you, and what happened to you when you used it?
Well, I was in the third grade, and
yeah.
we were living in Upland, Indiana at the time, and my mom bought it for us, and she thought it was just a game. She thought it was just simply a game that, you know, the kids could play together.
Yeah.
And when we did play it, we would, you know, ask it questions, and all of us would get together and put our hands on the oracle, and it would move around, but I thought it was my brother just moving, you know, the oracle around, just playing
yeah.
a joke on everybody.
The oracle is that little bit, right, that is on top of the board? Is that what you mean
exactly.
by oracle? Yes.
Exactly. And it's the part that moves and answers the questions, you know, takes you to the letters.
Yes.
That formal word that answer your question.
Right.
And what I did was one night I took the board out
yes.
of my own curiosity, the game, up to my room by myself, and I started, you know, I put my hand on the oracle and I started answering questions, you know.
Yes.
And it started moving by itself, and it scared me, but at the
wow.
same time, it's kind of like the only way I can explain it was kind of like a roller coaster. You're enjoying your own fear.
Yeah, of course, and you don't know why it's happening, right? You don't know the story.
Well, but at the same time, it was intriguing. It made me curious. It made me want, you know, to find out what was moving this thing. So that's exactly what I did.
Yes.
Was I asked it the question. I said, who's moving this? Because I felt, I'm being honest with you, I felt
yes.
when the oracle started moving, I felt the presence of something else come to my room.
How did you feel it? This is very important, Jeff, because I had a few questions about did you feel like somebody was there looking at you, or
exactly. You hit the nail on the head. I felt like I was. Have you ever had that sensation that someone's looking at you, but you don't know who?
Yes.
There's
yes.
someone in the room, and they're looking at you, and that is exactly what I felt. Now, remember, I'm only, you know, like a third grade kid. I'm only eight, nine years old.
Wow.
And I'm looking around, but I could sense someone else is in the room and they're looking at me.
Did it feel
so
a good presence? Did it feel like a good presence, or how would you describe what it felt like?
It was. It wasn't threatening. It wasn't what I would perceive as creepy or evil. It came in friendly, you
yes.
know.
Satan comes as an angel of light, doesn't he?
Absolutely,
yes.
And it's kind of like the stranger offering the child candy, you know.
Wow.
And I asked, I said, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, I know you're here and I know you're moving this. Who are you?
Yeah.
And it, the oracle started moving, and it spelled out D-E-V-I-L.
The devil.
Yeah.
Did that scare you?
It did. I pushed it away. But at the same time, when I pushed it away, it drew me towards it because it's.
Yes.
I can't explain my interest in this, in that I was detached from family and didn't have roots.
Yes.
You know, and up to this point had not had a normal, quote unquote, normal life.
Yes.
I was wide open for something to happen in my life, even as a little kid.
and you see what you're describing, isn't that what's happening to so many children and families today? They don't really have a connection at home, so they're looking for a spiritual connection, even though they don't understand that it's a spiritual connection.
Well, there's, you know what, I think stuff like this happens to children all the time. And a lot of times what we do is we don't listen to the children, or we say, well, that's a child's imagination.
Right.
But
right.
That's one of the reasons why I have, for the past 20 years, have been listening to children and teenagers, and people have been telling me stories for 20 years of what they've experienced, and I was the only person that believed them.
And you know something, Jeff? You need to write a book about that, what children tell you. You know, because I know in the back of your book, From Dark... By the way, the book again, two books that Jeff has written, From Darkness to Light, and that's his story, and then also giving a whole bunch of information, how to recognize the occult and what to do about it. And the other one is Dancing with the Devil. So have you considered doing a book telling the different stories you've heard? You know, you don't have to give the people's names, and then just say, this is what happens, this is what parents should look for.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. I haven't even thought about that, because I already have another book I'm doing right now. It's going to be released
next year.
Going to be Holy Soldier. That's the tentative title, but it's a book on spiritual warfare and how to deal with the reality of spiritual warfare.
I'm a spiritual warrior, by the way. You know, I'm a seer. I see into the sixth realm, you know, into the sixth dimension. Mm-hmm. So to me, everything you say is just absolutely fantastic. But tell people how they can obtain your books that I've already mentioned, and the new book as well.
Well, my books are, both of them are obviously, they're going to be available on my website, which is refugeministries.cc. And I always shop amazon.com. They're both available. From Darkness to Light is actually my first book, and like you shared, that's my complete testimony.
Yeah.
And I also give a concise dictionary of occultic terms and practices. And the reason I wrote that book was, when I came out with Refuge Ministries, a lot of people contacted me because they had loved ones, they had family members that were witches and that had been involved in the occult, and they wanted to know what to do to reach them and to help them. So we wrote this book for that audience. Yeah. And then Dancing with the Devil, what I did was I took 10 people from all over the world, various occult practices.
Like Laura Maxwell, Christine McGuire, right?
David Berkowitz, remember the Son of Sam killer?
Yes, you talked to him also.
He's my friend. He's now a born-again pastor in a prison.
Praise God!
The Lord, he's a neat guy.
Wow.
I have a chapter from a mother who found out her child was involved in the occult, and her child was possessed.
Yeah.
And from her perspective, what did she do as a mother?
Yeah.
I have a chapter by a young lady that was a Satanist who grew up as a Satanist in the Christian church. So, it's a neat book, and it's done well. It was in the top 100 books in all of the United Kingdom, and it's been in the top 100, in the top 50.
You know what? The Spiritist Church is so active there. That's probably such a bestseller, because people are ignorant, right? My people perish for lack of knowledge. Isn't that what God tells us? Go ahead, please.
The United Kingdom, especially England, has been so steeped in witchcraft and the supernatural. In the United States, we have a tendency to dismiss the supernatural or sensationalize it, whereas in the UK, Scotland and that whole area, there is such a strong history of witchcraft and the supernatural that it's common daily life there.
Here it isn't.
Here when I talk about witchcraft, people go, "Oh my, what is that?"
Yes,
and they have a misunderstanding of it, but. The reason that I started Refuge Ministry was because I had a witch coming to my youth group.
Wow.
And the reason she was coming to my youth group was one of the deities, one of her goddesses, if you will.
Yes, yes.
Was the Holy Spirit. So she came to church to learn more about the Holy Spirit.
Oh, my goodness. Which was a demon masquerading as such, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes.
So, you know, witches and people that are in the occult, they attend church. They go to church.
Yes.
Now, that's one of the things I'm trying to share with people is, you know, guys, you might be sitting next door or sitting next to a Satanist growing up in church. You may be, you know, in youth group. There may be a little witch coming to youth group. So I'm trying to educate the body of Christ to understand through both of my books who the occultist is, what they practice, how to reach them, and then how to minister to them.
How about how to recognize them? How do you recognize them?
Well, you can't in the sense that a lot of people want an outward sign, if you will, and it's only through entering into someone else's life and establishing trust with them to where they open up and tell you and show you who they are.
You know, and about the ninth, I used to minister all over the country, you know, and always God would show me, you know, what to talk about. I've had some amazing experiences. In the early 1990s, God spoke to me and he said, we need to have subtle discernment regarding the things of Satan. Actually, it was the late 80s, and I was helping Pat Robertson at the time, getting people, you know, you need 3 million people to run for president. And I talked to a gentleman in Florida. He says, oh, our pastor has been teaching us that Satan is engaging in subtle deception. And I said, yeah, you see how the body is worked, right? He shows one part to one part of the body, and God shows something else to the other part of the body, which gives you a hope. You know, if Satan engages in subtle deception, we have to have subtle discernment, right?
Exactly. Makes sense to me.
Isn't that wonderful? You know what I want to teach? That's wonderful what you do. Jeff, God bless you. God bless you. You're going to be all over the world in ways you haven't even seen before. And I'm saying that to you as a prophet. You watch, you'll be called from Australia and from China and from Russia. You're going to be traveling all over, and you need to be traveling like a brand of fire so you don't waste time traveling. In Jesus' name. But you know what I want to... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said, I receive it. I'm ready.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask you, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Another question.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I know in one of the houses beyond the Ouija board, you felt a presence following you. You mentioned that a couple of times in your book. What did you feel? Was it a spirit that dwelt in that house, did you feel? Or do you know?
When I began to play with the Ouija board, like I said, that presence introduced himself and got scared, but I wasn't afraid of the presence for some reason, because it was non-threatening. That's all I can say, is it was non-threatening. It just didn't seem to do anything that would cause me to pull away from it. Though it sounds unusual.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not attached to family. I you know, I'm looking for something to attach to.
Right.
And I would wake up in the middle of the night, and this presence would be in my room. And I would get up and walk around, and then I would begin to see it. And
your words are being cut off, Jeff. I'm sorry. You began to see the spirit, did you say?
Well, I would begin to see it. It would begin to in a sense, take its shape, take form, and I would look at it, and it made me more and more curious. And
what did it look like? What did it look like to you?
It was starting to, you know, to take the shape of having a head and a body, that type of thing. All it was trying to do was trying to, you know, draw a child's curiosity more and more to make the child come towards it rather than away from it.
Of course. And
from that experience, I had a really over-the-top experience, which I knew I was on to something. I had a dream one night.
Yes.
And in this dream, someone, this spirit, came behind me, like behind my head, and spoke my name. It said, Jeff, we want to show you something. And it reached out for me.
It says we?
Reached out for me,
did it say
I'm
we?
Sorry?
I'm sorry, did he say we want to tell you something?
It did. It said we want to show you something. And when it said we want to show you something, I reached back. I reached for it. I was opening myself for it.
Wow.
And when I made contact with it, it took me, and Judge Eve, I can't explain it any other way than it felt like I was being rushed through a tube. You know, it was like astral projection. I was going someplace very fast.
Yeah.
And I showed up at another house. And when I went to this house, it took me around this house, took me from room to room, showing me this house. I went up this very large staircase to the second story of this house, and went into the top room at the top of the steps, and it's like it asked me to rest there, you know, just stay here for a moment.
And it spoke to you audibly? How did it speak to you?
That I can't explain. All I know is I knew what it was saying. It wasn't like you're talking to me, but it was talking to me to where I had understanding. Does that make sense?
Like a thought in your mind.
That you knew did not come from you.
Yes.
But it was very vivid. It was very, very vivid to where I knew they weren't my own thoughts.
Yes.
So as I sat in this room, it took my hand again. It didn't ask me, it just took my hand. Okay?
And did you see that being?
No, it just came real fast, took my hand, and then we just rushed back, and then I in a sense I went back into my body and just kind of jerked open or jerked awake.
Wow.
And I thought, well, it's just a dream, you know, it's no big deal.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
My mom the next day you know, gathered the family.
Yes.
And said, guys, we're getting ready to move.
Oh, no.
And tomorrow we're going to show you the next, or where we're going to move to. We're going to show you the house.
Yes.
So when we went to the house the next day, Judge Eve, it was the house that I had that experience.
You saw the house ahead of time.
I already saw the house. And
wow.
I walked around the house, and my jaw was on the floor. And I walked up the staircase.
Yes.
And my mom said, that's going to be your room. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, I know.
Did you tell her about your dream? Or
no.
What you thought?
No, because I didn't know what to do about it.
Yes.
And the following Christmas, okay, now remember, this presence isn't leaving me. I mean, but I'm not telling anybody about it. And for some reason, they can't feel it. They can't experience it. They're not experiencing it.
Of course not. How old were you at that point?
Well, I was going into fifth grade.
So about 10.
Okay. And, yes. And we moved to Hartford City, Indiana. And we lived in this house. And that Christmas, I had another dream.
Yes.
And all of my Christmas presents, it's like I came down my stairwell, the stair steps, and I went over to my presents, and I was shown what was in each and every one of my presents.
Wow, without opening them up, right?
And then I told my mom. Now, that was a mistake. Because, Judge Eve, you know what she thought I did? She thought
what?
I took the tape off and I was, you know, looking in my presents.
Oh, no.
And there was one large present, okay?
Yes.
And I said, Mom, I can tell you right now, here I am, fifth grade.
Yes.
And I'm telling Mom what's in each one of these packages.
Yes.
And I said, in this package, I said, you've laid a pair of brown slacks. I said, there's a red plaid shirt on top of it. And I said, in this upper hand corner, I said, there's a little black box that I can't see into. I don't know what that is. I said, I could not see in my vision what it was.
Yes.
And she thought that I opened up the packages and looked at them before Christmas.
Oh,
so I
no.
got in trouble. And
yes.
I got in so much trouble that at that point, Judge Eve, I said, I'll never tell anybody anything ever again.
And you know, Jeff, it bothers me because this is probably why children don't tell their parents what they should be telling them, because they think they'll be ridiculed or criticized. So what
or disciplined.
Or disciplined, exactly. So wouldn't
well, they
you
put a lot of children. They put a lot of children on medicine that have these experiences. I used to be a school therapist.
Oh, my goodness.
I worked for the school system, and
yes.
a good portion, if not the majority, of those kids were taking some sort of medicine.
Like Ritalin and for ADHD or whatever it's called?
Exactly.
Wow.
And these kids were not... they were not showing abnormal behavior. They were not showing anything other than they were being diagnosed for stuff because the psychiatrist wasn't even seeing them. He was going on my word and on a case management word. They weren't even receiving proper diagnosis. They were just being diagnosed and prescribed Ritalin or whatever.
Yeah.
And these kids were 6, 7, and 8 years old who I work with.
Oh, no. Don't you see what's happening in our society? Dumbing down, drugging, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely, Judge Eve.
Yes.
I mean, it infuriated me. So,
oh, yes.
I mean, you can see from my experience why I would go into that type of work.
Oh, definitely.
Because
and you know what? It's more than that. The Lord allowed you to do it. He allowed you to experience what you did because, you know, we'll get into it, how you got saved, which is amazing. Because how would you know how people feel unless you've gone through that same experience? Right?
Absolutely.
And people don't believe you if you just say, well, yeah, I know how you feel, but you've never gone through what they go through. So
exactly.
You know,
These children,
yes,
I mean,
if
they say anything, they're going to be drugged. They're going to be, they're going to be mocked. They're going to be disciplined. So a lot of kids are having experiences, and they're not telling anybody. And
how do we prevent
either that?
They're
locking them up in, you know, an alternative school or mental ward.
Oh, no.
It's amazing. That's why I'm trying my best. To help equip the body of Christ, to be prepared for anything that comes in the church door. And it's not the pastor's responsibility. Each and every one of us are called to minister.
Let me give your email. Yes, go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Well, if anything, we should be so readily available to pray with and for people.
Yes.
Because prayer changes everything.
Because that's what you do in Refuge Ministries. And I like to say lovingly, because when I heard you describe what you do on your website, I just felt the love that I know you and Liz have for all people. And if people need to get in touch with you, they can email you at info@refuge, that's R-E-F-U-G-E, ministries, ministries.cc. So it's info@refugeministries.cc, and the website is refugeministries.com. And again, let me mention Jeff's books, because people, you've got to get those books. From Darkness to Light, which tells his story and then gives practical points, how to recognize what's really going on and how to help people. And the second one is Dancing with the Devil. And what, again, is the name of your new book, please? The Holy Soldier?
Well, that won't be out until next year. So
okay.
If you get the first two books, you'll be ready for number 3 when it comes out.
Perfect. And I was going to say, too, if anybody wants to call for prayer while Jeff is on, I didn't want to interrupt his testimony, but it's 1-888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Now, Jeff, let's jump forward a little bit about your story. I know you went through high school and you really didn't fit in most of the time until you started working in this department store. And there was a guy there named Steve that you were looking up to, right?
Exactly. He was the kind of guy that he had it all together. He dressed nice, you know, was responsible, had his own place. And he was my assistant manager. One night, and this is back in the day, back in the 70s, when in Indiana, there was a snowstorm, and I could not get home. And he knew I needed a place to stay for the night until the snow was removed.
Yes.
So he said, you know, you can stay at my apartment tonight. It's no big deal.
Yes.
And we went over to his place, and when he opened up the door to his apartment, the same presence that I had experienced with the Ouija board, and that had taken me from my bed and showed me the house, and I had some other experiences growing up. The same presence was in his apartment.
Wow.
And I stopped and I walked in and I felt the presence, and I had to decide at that point, Judge Ease, was the presence there because of me or because of him?
Interesting.
So we sat down, you know, and started talking and all of this, and I started to look around his apartment, and I noticed he had some paraphernalia, some
like
things
skulls.
That were...
Did you say skulls?
Well, as soon as you walked in, he had a fireplace, and directly on top of the fireplace, dead center, the very first thing he wanted you to see was, you know, it was just a ceramic skull. It wasn't a real skull, but it was a ceramic skull, which was striking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
And it gave you that impression that, wow, this guy's into something, you know?
Right.
Not to mention the presence. So we sat there and we were chit-chatting, and I said, okay, you know, I'm done chit-chatting. I said, what are you into?
Yeah.
He goes, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, I'm looking around your apartment. I said, what is all this stuff?
Yeah.
He goes, well, I'm a Satanist.
You know, just wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I asked, right? So he's going to tell me.
Yeah.
And when he said, you know, you're a Satanist, I said, really, what is that?
Yeah.
And he said, you know, basically what he believed and what he practiced. And he said, are you interested? I said, well, absolutely. I said, because I've had all these abnormal experiences. And the same presence that I had when I was a little kid is right here in your apartment right now.
Wow.
And he started smiling. He goes, well, you can become a Satanist right now. Would you like that?
Wow.
And I said, yeah, I would. I really would. Because, well, Judge, at this point, my parents had put me through so much.
Yeah.
And they had divorced. And my mom had become a Christian.
Yeah.
And was praying for me, but... She was driving me away at this point, and I just wanted to go away, and I wanted to have power in my life.
And you wanted to belong to something or someone, right?
I needed significance. I needed to get my head back up in life, because all of my life I had been a part of this family that, you know, all I did was feel shame. I just felt like I didn't measure up, and I wasn't going to go to college. I wasn't going to work in a factory. I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do in life. And suddenly, here's a guy saying, you can have all of this if you'll only bow down and worship me.
What was it that he said?
I don't have a thing to lose. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. So, I'll sell my soul if I have to. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I have no hope.
But
so,
what was it that he offered you? What did he say Satan would offer you?
Well, he said that Satan would take care of me. And I saw in this guy what I wanted. This guy had assurance. I mean, he was a very arrogant person.
Confident.
Right? But,
yes.
But his arrogance came off as confidence to me.
Yes.
And I didn't have any confidence at all.
Yes.
So he formed a pentagram and invited me, started speaking Latin, and... You know, the demons took him over and invited me into the pentagram. And then he prayed over me, laid hands on me and spoke in tongues.
Wow.
And a demon filled me up just like an empty cup of water being filled with water.
How did you know it was a demon? This is what I wanted to ask you from your book. What did it feel like and how did you know? Because you said actually many demons entered you. And I wanted to know, how did you know it was a demon? What did it feel like?
Well, when it filled me up, it literally felt like water coming into my body. I mean, like water was just filling me up. But this is how I knew was when I came to a certain point, the demon had control over me and started to physically move me, and then it laughed through me.
Wow!
Because it now owned me. It now had possession. It was the most evil, diabolical laugh I'll ever experience.
You didn't think that was bad at the time?
I was submissive, so I didn't perceive it as bad or evil.
Because
all I was wanting was what's in it for me.
Yes.
You
know, Satan is all about? Me, I, and mine, right? The total opposite of what Jesus is. You know,
absolutely. And you know what? I immediately began to reflect the personality of the demon that took over and started to live inside of me. I went from this person who had always kind of kicked the rocks as he walks with his head down, not looking up. You know, I became very confident, very cocky, very very proud, very arrogant, very rude, very, you know, just sharp and aggressive in my personality.
Wow.
And I began to take pride in the way I looked because I wanted everyone to look at me. It was just all about me.
So many in the movie industry are all about then? Are they all demon-possessed? Not all, because there are many Christians. But would you think that they're demon-possessed for acting the way they do?
You know what? I have a strong tendency to stay away from speculation because I have learned that if I don't know something, it's okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna stay at the level of I don't know because I don't know them.
Okay.
I don't know these people. I would say most of those people that you see in Hollywood are very, very, very insecure people.
Definitely.
Very insecure people.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
To demand to be in the spotlight all the time is not a strength. It's actually a weakness.
Exactly.
But the demon living inside of me caused me to walk down the halls of my high school, and I had people actually looking at me for the first time in my life, and I felt like I was a somebody.
Wow.
And what happened was all of these kids, all of these people that all of my life had been rejecting me, you know, I rejected them, and the day after I graduated from high school, I moved away. I just dropped that town and left.
Did you work or did you go to school? I know you said, which I never heard before, that you men had a coven, which amazed me. I thought coven applied only to witches type places. You know?
Well, it was a group of guys. But let me back up a little bit before I go there. Okay.
Yes.
From when I graduated high school, I left with this person who initiated me into Satanism.
Yes.
He and I got an apartment in Newcastle, Indiana, and he became my mentor. He became my teacher.
Right.
And it was he and I for a couple of years, and he and I would go into rituals, and I learned everything firsthand from him.
Wow.
But when we moved to Newcastle, Indiana, I found out something, that the guy who led me into Satanism was a backslidden Christian.
Really?
And, his parents were on fire Christians.
So when
he came back to his hometown, they went after him. His church, the church he used to attend, came after us. They came after us. Judge Eve, everywhere I went, there were Christians waiting for me to tell me about the love of Jesus Christ.
And you didn't want to hear it.
I didn't want to hear it. I thought, you know, here I am a Satanist. I'm 18 years old. Leave me alone. I want to change my own life, you know. What are you doing interrupting my plans?
Right.
So I would go to the drive-in and get a cheeseburger, and there was a guy by the name of Billy who was, he came up one time and he stuck his head in my car.
Oh.
And I'm trying to eat cheeseburger, and this guy's telling me about Jesus. They were aggressive. They were aggressive, and they didn't fear me at all. And they knew what I was involved with.
Oh, did they? You see?
Oh, absolutely.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Ooh, see?
So what we did was we went to church. We went to church.
Like other Satanists do, right? Amazing. Go ahead.
We went to church. If they were coming after us, we were going to turn around and come after them. So we began to do rituals, trying to curse them and trying to cause them problems because they were coming after us. If they weren't going to leave us alone, we were going to send demons their way.
Let me ask you, did you know that demons were going after the people?
Well, I found out later that we couldn't touch them.
There we
go. Because they were God's children.
Amen.
And
it protected them.
And it boiled down to the reason we left that town was because we couldn't touch them. and they were constantly evangelizing us.
Praise
God.
So
here's what's funny, Jackie. When we left that town, moved to Muncie, Indiana, and I decided I was going to go to Ball State University and become a child psychologist.
Oh.
We rented rented an apartment, or a house, actually. Okay.
Yes.
And my water heater broke down one day, and my landlord came over, and he was fixing the water heater while I was doing my homework.
Yes.
And he looked at me, and he goes, "Hey, Jeff." And I said, "What?" He goes, "Know that Jesus loves you."
Oh, my God.
I'm like, "What? Why are you guys harassing me? Why are you following me?" He goes, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "I just left one town because the Christians there drove me crazy." He goes, "Jeff, all God's trying to do is love you."
Oh.
And he just started to describe, you know, from the Gospels, the life of Christ.
Yes. I'm sorry, you're losing you, Jeff. Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Okay. No, I can, but I didn't hear what book you cited and what he said to you.
He started bringing, you know, from the book of Matthew and explaining the life of Christ to me. And I was very interested at that point because I just thought it was curious that these Christians were everywhere I go. So what happened was my teacher came in and grabbed me and pulled me away from this Christian, my landlord, and said, "Listen, you know, we're not interested at this point. Thanks so much. Just please, you know, fix the water heater." So we rented another house.
Yes.
You know, got away from him, and we decided since these Christians are coming after us, we're going to start going after Christians. But it probably make good sense.
Yes.
If we got a group of Satanists together to go after the Christians.
Wow.
So we started evangelizing the Ball State campus, throwing parties. And this is how Satan evangelizes. He presents himself as something that you want.
See,
so what we did was...
To entice, right? To entice people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean...
Yes.
Judge Eve, I had nice clothes on. I had a diamond ring on. I had everything that an 18-year-old would want because at this point I'm 20 years old, right?
Yes.
And and I'm projecting that I've got my act together, that I'm something in society and all that. And these 18-year-old kids.
Yes.
Oh, it's an illusion. It's a lie.
Yes.
It's an absolute illusion.
Right.
And these
it's
kids are coming into this. These kids are coming into this party drinking, you know, and smoking a little bit.
Oh.
And they're a little high, and they're looking at me, and they're thinking, "Yeah, I want what you have."
Yeah.
So we started telling them about Satanism, and, you know, all of a sudden we had eight kids, 18 years old, you know, not kids, literally. But they were 18, we had eight of them that wanted to become Satanists.
Wow. You know what I'm thinking, too? The way Steve imparted the demons to you is similar to the way the Holy Spirit is imparted to people. You know the book, The Challenging Counterfeit by Ralph Gasson? Have you ever read
that? Absolutely. No,
you know,
I haven't, but you're exactly right.
It's just so amazing. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, these kids started to come into Satanism, and I watched each and every one of these kids become a Satanist and go through their own becoming demonically possessed.
Possessed. Wow. And can you tell it from their countenance? Was there something about their heart?
Oh, yeah. They were, Judge, it was almost like there was a level of innocence that was lost.
Yeah. Oh.
It was like there was a dark veil that came over
their eyes exactly.
And their mind.
Yes.
And it blew me away because, you know, these kids were not the riffraff in society. These kids were the sons of teachers and lawyers and doctors.
Wow.
You know, the good people in society.
Yes.
So
and yet they were deceived.
But my heart hurt for them when I saw them demon-possessed. And see, that was a part of me that was supposed to have been dead.
I wasn't supposed to care.
Satanists don't care. Satanists aren't supposed to love. You know, we're offering our bodies and ourselves as sacrifices.
Yes.
You know, so that the demons live inside of us, and that human part of us is supposed to die. And
but
I wasn't
see,
dying.
And see, that's why I call God the master setup. He had you set up from the beginning, you know. And he kept...
My mom was a Christian. She was praying for me. My teacher, parents were Christians. They were praying for us. Everybody around us was praying for us. We were set up to fail so bad, and we had no idea.
I love it.
So here we have a group of about 10 of us, okay?
Yes.
And we're all living together and going to school. All of us are college kids except for one. And with everybody going to school.
How did you support yourselves, by the way? Did you have income from any source? Did you also work, or what was your...
Most of us lived in a house, and most of us either had a part-time job.
Yes.
Me personally, I didn't work. I knew how to manipulate the government so that I could get paid to go to college.
Yes, good.
I mean, between Pell Grants and all kinds of benefit. I was making money going to college.
Wow.
So, and then we had someone in our group that really, he was our drone. He would go to work, and every Friday he'd give us his paycheck.
Oh, you like a slave. My God.
Yeah, but
that's how far...
He didn't see it like a slave. He saw it as a privilege.
Of course. Unbelievable.
That's how controlled he was.
Wow. By the demons, would you say? Is that how they control people? They deceive
them? Oh, they
him?
Absolutely had him blinded. He was desperate to be a part of us to the point where he would go and work. He would go to work, Judge Eve, in a hot factory, and on Friday he'd give us his paycheck.
Oh, my God. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:4, how the God of this world blinds their minds and their hearts, right? So they cannot see the light of the gospel. You were seeing it in a...
I used to look at him and laugh because I thought, you have got to be the most stupid person on the planet.
Yeah.
But after I would laugh, my heart would break for him. It's like I had a dual personality that was starting to develop.
Wow.
And this heart that I had for these people would not stop. And I would go into rituals, you know, basically trying to kill that part of me, trying to get the demons to take that out of me, and it just wouldn't go away. It just wouldn't go away.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where it was driving me crazy.
Oh, my.
You know?
Tell me this, Jeff, because people need to hear it. We only have about 7 minutes or so, and I wanted to get to the part where you were saved. Isn't that true that even if a demon seems harmless when you first accept them, they actually turn on the people that have accepted them?
Well, that's exactly what happened to me. I got to a point where I wanted to find out what was going on with my heart, and when I started to question my own heart, rather than kill my heart, it's like my heart won't die. That's exactly when demons for 4 years had been my friends, had been serving me, had been giving me the sensation of having power. They began to torment me. They turned on me to the point to where I tried to commit suicide twice.
In what way did they torment you? Was it by thoughts? By what did you feel? What did you go through?
Everything, they were fighting each other within me.
Wow.
If you can imagine that, and they were haunting my mind.
Saying what? How?
They were just tormenting my mind with just visual and just words, constantly talking to me. And the sensation, it was kind of like having bees trapped in a jar inside of you. And it kept stinging you instead of trying to get out.
Oh, how awful, awful.
But amplify that, right? So with that condition, I didn't want to be a Christian, okay?
Yeah.
So what I did was I took a gun and a bottle of whiskey to the hall in Muncie, Indiana. I rented a room, and I drank the whiskey, and I put the gun against my head. And the thought came to me, Judge E, where are you going to spend eternity?
Just like that, huh?
And I thought, what? I mean, seriously, I went, what? Like that. I said, I can't even die. Right? The next night, I had a rope in my garage, and I put the noose around my neck, and I fell to the floor.
God, and Jesus did that for you, didn't he? And saved your
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. He interrupted my death so that I could have eternal life. I mean, in an amazing way. So what I did was I tried to drink and smoke myself, you know, self-medicate one night, and I tried to smoke a cigarette, and it burned my lips. I opened up a beer to try to drink, and I brought it to my mouth, and my stomach flip-flopped, and I almost threw up. It was nauseating. So my teacher grabbed all of the students, got them out of the house. I went to bed, and when I went to bed, I started to cry like a baby. I just started to weep.
Oh.
And when I was there crying, I heard from the foot of my bed, Judge Eve, more clear than you talking to me right now, I heard from the foot of my bed, get out.
Oh.
I stopped crying. I just laid there, and I heard from the side of my bed, get out.
Wow.
And I opened up my window. I didn't even go around through the house. I opened up my window, and I stepped out of my bedroom window, and I stepped into a completely different presence.
Wow. Wow.
And I got on my face, Judges. I got on my face. It was in my gravel driveway, Muncie, Indiana, October 27th, 1981.
Wow.
On my driveway, I just went face down. I was completely convicted. I was apprehended by love.
Yes.
And I gave up. And I looked up, and I probably had gravel dust on my nose. And I said, just make my life okay.
Oh.
Just make my life okay, because I'm going through hell. And here's the thing, that I went to churches looking for help, and nobody would help me. No one knew how to help me.
Yes.
And I finally went to a church, and Harry and Joe Richardson asked me over to their house.
Yes.
And they prayed for me and cast the demons out of me.
Wow.
I repented of my sin. They laid hands on me. I received the Holy Spirit. And that was 30 years ago.
Wow.
God's good, huh?
It's unbelievable. Jesus is Lord of your life, isn't he? Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What I want to do is just repeat the information about you, and then we'll have a couple of minutes so you speak whatever is on your heart to people, okay?
Okay.
To get in touch with Jeff, you should contribute to his ministry. The email is info@refugeministries.cc. The two books he has so far are From Darkness to Light and then Dancing with the Devil, and there'll be more. And Jeff, what is it that the Lord would have you share with all of us?
Everybody listening, Jesus Christ is real, and if you don't know him, he is relentlessly pursuing you. Simply because he just loves you. Don't run away. There's nowhere to go. He's already there waiting for you. I know. Been there, done that.
Yes.
And his love is tremendous. It will keep you. He will keep you. He's faithful. He'll never leave you or forsake you.
And he will never lie to us either, will he? Like Satan does, right?
That's all Satan does is lie to you. He doesn't even know the truth. He's a liar and a thief. But he's defeated, amen?
In the Father of Lights, right? Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know, I cannot thank you enough, Jeff. I just pray for blessings upon you and your ministry. Like I said, I know it's going to go worldwide, and especially now, beyond your wildest dreams, because Jesus is coming back in my lifetime, and I'm older than you. You know, the work is hard and heavy. You know, as he says, the harvest is ready, laborers are few. And people, you listen to Jeff, you learn from him how to recognize symptoms of demon possession or occult activity in them. Encourage them to talk about it. Don't laugh at them. Don't ridicule them, and don't punish them. Would you say that is
absolutely.
So, Jeff?
Absolutely, absolutely. And if there's anything I can do for any of the listeners, you have my information, info@refugeministries.cc. Email me, find me on Facebook. I'll friend anybody. Come and talk. Let's work together.
And please do so, people, because Jeff lived what he's talking about, and he knows what you're involved in. And the way the world is today with all the occult movies and what's going on with music and everything, we're just being bombarded by it. Someday I'll tell you the story what God showed me about satanic presence since 1990, what's going on in the world. But thank you so much, Jeff. God bless you. And God
thank
bless
you, Judge.
And God bless your ministry, and you be blessed, and your ministry blessed like you've never seen before. In Jesus'
thank you,
name. Thank you, Jeff. God bless you.
Edenu shalom alechem, edenu shalom alechem, edenu shalom alechem, edenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem, edenu shalom alechem, edenu shalom alechem, edenu shalom alechem, edenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Edenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.